Bam. There it is.
What's up?
What's up, everybody? Man, it's been a while, I tell you what. And Shane, you look a little like Joel, but not much here going on. I'm
what Joel will be in his future, you know?
Oh, man. I love seeing the old crew in chat. Thank you guys so much for showing up. Means a lot to me. I know the Reptiles Unplugged show hasn't been around for a while. We're definitely bringing it back. And I'm excited. I'm excited to see where we're going to be. So
I'm excited too, man. There was a big lead up to all this behind the scenes for all you guys in the chat. I mean, there was I might have done a little coercion, a little pushing, you know, all that stuff to get it back on.
Dude, that was a lot of fun. And I got to say, I appreciate you kind of keeping in touch with me when I was on my little like kind of social media hiatus. You would send a text every once in a while or drop a line. And I appreciate that. And then we were just chit-chatting and you were like, hey, you ever think you're going to bring it back? And yeah, maybe. And then April Fool's was around the corner and we thought it'd be fun to mess with everybody. So here we are. I really, really appreciate everybody joining. So
how long has it been, Adam?
See, I think it was like January of 2022. Right? Something like that. So like over 3 years was our last show. And the last show we did, I went and looked, we were like coming back. And then that was it. Like, oh man. So this time around, like we're going to have fun just like we did last time. The whole purpose of this show, I don't know if anybody caught kind of the intro, is, you know, Reptiles Unplugged. We're unplugged from like all the networks, no sponsors, nothing like that. Not saying that it's bad if you got that stuff, but for us, we just like to have like an unfiltered, unplugged perspective on the reptile industry, ball pythons, within particular, because both Shane and I are ball python breeders, and that's where kind of the show started back in the day. And that'll be a big focus, but we also have interest in other things. So, you know, we could have other reptile stuff.
Yeah. And that also gives us the freedom to speak freely, and you could be aligned with whoever you want to be aligned with Beach Bum. And I could be aligned with whoever I want with Small Town. And, you know, it just keeps things simple and, you know, I like it. We're just unplugged.
Yep. Unplugged. And obviously Shane's going to be riding with me through this. He's going to be the new host. Want to set this straight. Joel and I never had a fallout. There was a rumor, I think, way back in the day. That ain't true. Him and I still chat all the time, you know, a couple times a week. And he's still, you know, doing ball python stuff, has awesome projects running, but he's also doing some other stuff. I don't want to put any words in his mouth. He'll, when he's ready, he'll be able to tell you guys what's up. So Shane, did you have anything that you kind of wanted to discuss before we kind of officially got rolling in?
Yeah, I just wanted to say I'm glad that Reptiles Unplugged back. There's definitely been a vacuum in the podcast world since you've been gone. I mean, there's nothing really to watch on there. I'm actually being sarcastic. So anyways, you know, it was hard for us to pick a night that worked for both of our schedules. He's West Coast, I'm East Coast. We ended up on Thursdays at 9. So, you know, we might be stepping on somebody's toes out there, but it's totally unintentional. We just had to pick a time that worked for us. And I just wanted to put that out there, but it was my choosing. I chose Thursday at 9. So,
yeah. And I mean, totally, man. That was one thing when I was kind of coming back, like I officially like never like when I was coming back to using social media and kind of, you know, talking to y'all and I was talking to you you were like, well, have you seen what the podcast scene kind of looks like out there? And I'm like, man, I really haven't, just been focusing on work and, you know, the collection. He goes, well, check it out. And he goes, actually, there's this TV guide. And he sends me this TV guide. There is quite a few shows out there. So to everybody that joined us tonight, thank you guys for choosing to spend your time with us. We definitely. We love it. Really appreciate it. So it is nothing personal that we chose to, you know, Thursday. This is just the way it was. And, you know, who knows? Like, we're just going to kind of write. It doesn't mean we'll always be Thursday, right? Like, if we have a guest and they can't do Thursday, it might be a different night. But our regular showtime will be Thursday, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. So
Right. And so, like Adam already said, no sponsors, no networks, kind of just Shane and Adam. I mean, I know our brands are synonymous with us too, but you're kind of just getting Shane and Adam, and this will be like a 1-hour show. We're not going to do no like 4-hour marathons or whatever. And you know, if you're busy doing something else, catch us on the replay.
Dude, for sure. I agree.
And I'm going to be working on adding it to the audio podcast platforms. So that's a new take on the new version of Reptiles Unplugged too.
Dude, awesome. Bringing that up. Thank you. I forgot. Yeah, that is going to be a little new spin. We're going to get on the audio side. Thank you, Shane, for bringing that expertise to the table, figuring that out. So
does it work? Yes. No. Okay.
Oh man, definitely. Will says purple beach bum is better than blue. I got the purple still. So, and so hey dude, I think we get rolling in traditional fashion. We weren't expecting to have a guest on tonight, but we said, you know what, why not? Like, we think it'd be fun, so we're gonna bring on our first guest tonight. And I'll let you, I'll let him introduce himself. Bam.
Hey, how's everybody doing? Yeah, Joel here, State 48 Exotics. I breed ball pythons.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you guys have ball pythons or how does this work?
Yeah, well, I like ball pythons. I mean, that's one of my favorites, so that's good.
Yeah, coincidentally, I'm looking to buy some ball pythons, and you breed ball pythons. So
man. Long time, everybody. It's been fun watching chat, kind of lurking in the background a little bit. So, yeah, that's been cool, man. It's cool to see everybody here. Thanks, everybody that's shown up today. Obviously, yeah, like we said, Reptiles Unplugged coming back, you know, might look a little different. I've been a little busy, obviously, but, you know, so we're having some live tryouts tonight. Shane's stepping up to the plate, so we're gonna get this cooking, right? But, man, yeah, been a while. It's been cool seeing, like, seeing everybody has, like, given me, like, you know, FOMO for all the years and all the time that we had. You know, this was, I mean, we were doing this a lot, you know, and this is always a really good time. So I'm glad something like this is back, you know, to pop in, talk about snakes. You know, I think the market could hear from just some people nerding out on some snakes, right?
Right. No, I agree. Yeah, I got to ask you a question though, while we're all three in here. So Joel, if the need arises, will you be like a guest host at some point in the future?
Yeah, I think I could do something like that for sure. Right. Yeah, I'm hoping. I'm in law school right now. I feel like I've like mentioned that, and that's just kind of like taking a ton of time. But I just closed out my like second year. Well, kind of, I have finals to take left, but just closed out the second year, you know, basically one more year left. And this is kind of just like study time and, you know, a lot of bar prep stuff, and like kind of some more narrowed scope classes. So I'm hoping that I can kind of get the ball rolling here and, I don't know, you know, maybe jump back on the train and post, post a little bit more and actually interact again. But yeah, it almost was like when I got into law school, my hobby just kind of became reading, and any all the time that I had to like where I was like posting and doing a lot of like the social media stuff, like love making YouTube videos. I think it's so much fun. And I really do enjoy this too. I think this is really fun. But you know, it's just, you know, push came to shove. I had to cut a little loose some of that stuff, but it's cool to be back. It's cool to be on here. And you know, I'm eager, you know, I know chat's probably been involved in the community this entire time. So I'm kind of like ready to get schooled on some stuff. Like, you know, what is going on? How about that? You know,
that's what I'm saying.
Well, yeah. Well, there was a market crash and we're all still breeding ball pythons. That's about it.
Yeah. So I actually haven't missed out on much, right?
No. You know, there's a new dramatic event every 2 weeks, then it's forgotten about, and then it's on to the next one. And meanwhile, the price has dropped and now we're here.
You're caught up. Okay.
There
yeah.
it is.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, ball pythons are still cool though. So that's good. You know, they still come in cool colors. But yeah, that's funny. Yeah, good to know.
Yeah. So you guys are all caught up.
Yeah. This is kind of like, I don't know. I feel like too, like when I'm looking at the market, like, I mean, you know, how long have you guys been doing this? This is, I mean, I'm going on like a decade now of like actively a decade of State 48.
Yeah.
Where are you guys?
I'm at six years.
Yeah. So let's see.
You were like, just before me, Adam. I feel like.
Yeah. 2012 was my first ball python, but like I didn't buy my breeding stuff until probably like 2014.
Yeah. Okay. Similar. Yeah. I had like clutches early on. Yeah. Like same thing. Just like I like snakes, you know, and they bred. But yeah.
Oh, there you go. State 48. Thank you. My wife is here. So
13 years. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense. Yeah. That's what I thought.
Without her, I wouldn't know what I like to eat or anything. So
yeah. Oops. Yeah, 2016. Yeah, so I think we were 2014 or 2015, something like that. You know, so it's like 10 years. So I feel like we've seen a wide variety of markets, in my opinion, you know.
The ebbs and flows.
Yeah, because
for sure.
There have definitely been highs and lows in that time. That's for sure.
Has it ever went as high as it did during COVID and then drop off as quickly as it did in your guys' time in, though?
Ooh, yeah, that's a good question. It would be hard for me to know because I feel like when I first got in, the market would have been considered dead, I feel like. Maybe not dead, but it was like long, these fabled stories of these like $60,000 snakes was like long gone. You know, it was like, oh, you know, you'll never see that again and blah, blah, blah. And then I feel like COVID came and then all of a sudden it was like, that's what we saw again. So right. I don't know, you know, maybe it was similar, but seem steep.
From my memory, like when I got in, like clowns were like really expensive still, but then the banana coral glow thing hit the market and we saw, you know, $60,000, $70,000, $80,000 ball python selling, and then a bunch selling for $20K. Then everybody figured out, oh my God, you can only make males with them. And then it was like, no, that's not true. If you got, you know, this and that and this many generations. So, you know, I think as long as I've been in it, there's always a sentiment that the market is crashing, the sky is falling, right? Depending on who you talk to. But I think that this recent change truly has been it's just been different this time, because before we never really had online an easy place to sell stuff online, right? You know what I mean? So like there was still people out looking for animals, going to shows if you did want one, even though it might slow down, there was still those people that were actively seeking it out. And now that it's all online, it's just kind of like, it's just a little different. I don't know, not good or bad, but
yeah,
right. Makes sense.
I think too, like the other side of this is like, maybe, I don't know if this is even, I don't know. I think the other side is like too, there are a lot of like incredible animals. You know what I mean? Like there are, yeah. Like if you're on Morph Market, how could you decide what to spend your money on? You know, and I think that also makes it extremely tough, because when I first got into this, there was like one puzzle, you know, and if it had a codom, that was insane, you know, and that's like, so I think that's also like why the market's more difficult now, is because everybody has great snakes, you know, because everybody cares about what they're doing. So that makes it hard, you know, and everybody has really good genetics and these animals are really pretty. And so, you know, I don't know, it makes it hard when you're selling, I feel like, especially at that higher end snake level.
Yeah. Yeah. As the multi-recessives like keep getting ads stacked in and everything too, it's like we further niche ourselves into this like narrow audience, like, you know, because mm-hmm. if it was just puzzle, everyone could work puzzle, but then you're like hypo DG puzzle, or are you going sunset hypo puzzle? And like, you just right. keep niching down and niching down, you know?
Right, right, right. Yeah. And it gets harder and harder, right? And more specialized. And then it's also hard to get branched out, you know? Because like yeah. running those quad recessives and stuff, I mean, my word. You have to have so many animals.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of space, all that.
Space, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I mean, you know, like my... I like my wife's perspective on kind of what we were talking about, where she goes from a little outside perspective. Here, let me highlight it like I properly should be. I think it was more certain morphs crashing or peaking rather than like a whole kind of market.
Yeah, there's definitely that.
And yeah, I thought that was kind of an interesting perspective on it. And then now, like, we were just talking, kind of tying that in, where the market's really gone to like triple, quad, recessive kind of projects. You know, not only is space gonna be stuff that people are gonna have to worry about, but like, how do you get there, right? Like, what are your right kind of foundational animals? And figuring that out can be a little difficult. So, you know, that's something that I kind of hope I can kind of learn through this program, having some cool guests on, some breeders that are working on some amazing projects. So for me, it's going to be kind of like a new journey coming in, seeing the perspective at today's market and where it's at and projects, and, you know, where I was a couple of years ago when I was heavily thinking about it, now heavily thinking about it again. So
yeah,
you know, something, there was a major advancement while you guys were off there too, was genetic testing. Like that's accelerated everything, and like the way you compare and stuff now and test, and it's changed the way you compare and move your projects along, for sure.
For sure. Yeah, I that changed how I've been pairing my animals.
Yeah,
you know, since that's been, yeah, for sure. You know, I'm not scared to pair a het to a not even a carrier, you know, and go with that 50% and then just test the whole clutch, you know, see what I can get, kind of shoot for the stars on some of that stuff, especially like when you're trying to like speed up to get to the quad recessives, you know, using those het to hets that are unrelated and then test the whole group. And hopefully you get the hero, you know, out of all of it. But that's pretty cool, man. It was crazy is when we started, it's crazy that we've been in this long enough to say when we started, but when we started, it was like fabled that genetic testing would be there, you know? And so it's like, dang, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. I remember having a lot of the live streams actually talking about like, all right, what if, you know, what's it going to do and all of that.
Yeah. So, how does it change the market? Right.
Technology, man. It's cool.
It is.
Hey, so while you guys are both in the room, I'm going to change the subject a little bit.
Okay. That's all right. Let's do it.
Do it. Yeah. Yeah.
What was the reason that you guys started Reptiles Unplugged to begin with? Because from my memory and my time slot in the reptile industry, like, you guys were the first YouTube live stream, at least for ball pythons. You know, I think Bar Check and everything was doing their bigger thing, but like, this was like a for us, by us, like, reptile, you know, ball python gig on YouTube. Well, like, what started all that for you guys?
Well, here, I'll start. I'll say, so Joel actually had the idea on his channel, and he was doing interviews, and I think he had done a handful of interviews, and he hit me up asking me if I wanted to do an interview with him, and did it. And afterwards, we like laughed. We're like, dude, that was a blast. And he goes, would you like to do this like regularly with me, like co-host with me? And we interview people. And that's kind of like how Reptiles Unplugged got started. Like, we were bouncing channels back and forth for, I don't know, 6 months or something like that.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah.
That was confusing as hell, believe me, from like a viewer standpoint. I'm like, right. Oh, it's on this one, it's on that one. Sometimes it might be on Feelies. And
dude. We even had Feely on for, dude. So then we decided on, we need a YouTube channel, Reptiles Unplugged, bam. That's how that kind of started. And then as far as us being like first on the scene, I don't know. I think there were others that were rolling. We were definitely like
early.
We were kind of early, one of the first couple that were probably out there. We were consistent at the beginning, not always, you know, we were consistent. Like, I know Billy had his thing going, and there were a few others.
Yeah.
And then the whole audio podcasting, you know, there was stuff that was like way, way before.
For sure. Yeah. There had been that. Yeah. So we were like, right. Early on the video scene, but not early on a podcast scene.
Yeah.
My timeline, I went ball shit, snakes and the fat man, reptiles unplugged. Like, that was, that's like the trifecta right there, you know?
Right. Yeah. Well, it's cool to be included in a group, you know? That's good.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that's not a bad group. You know, like, something that was cool about it going from the audio, you know, world over to the YouTube world was like the community and the chat. Like, that's where I met Jeremy Bod and Wiz Constrictors and Dorian. Yeah. And like, I met so many people in the chat, and like, I still talk to those guys today, you know? So there was the whole community behind you guys too. So thank you.
Yeah. Guys. The chat was fun. The chat was, I think, the reason it was fun.
Yeah. I had a blast. Right. And I love seeing you guys active tonight. Right. Everybody.
Yeah. In there. It's really cool. Yeah, we got Will in there. I mean, yeah.
Got a bunch of people.
K&B, like Bods. Yeah. I mean, we got people. OGs. It's hard for me to, I don't know. I have like the chat behind over, you know, I don't know. Anyways, doesn't matter.
It's been a little while, right? You're rusty. You got to dust off them spider webs.
Yeah, like a new room. I'm in a new setup. I don't know what I'm doing, you know, doing my best here.
You're doing excellent, Joel. You are doing excellent.
You know, you're right. I am doing great. No.
And so are you, Shane. We're the podcast positivity.
So for anyone in the audience that may not know me, I'm always like the podcast whore, for lack of a better term. I get passed around. So this is my first time being like a host, you know?
You're doing good, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, it's fun to be here. You know,
so I got another question for you guys, though, and you guys can answer one at a time or whatever. But like, what does Reptiles Unplugged mean to you guys personally?
You want to take it, Joel, since I jumped in on the first one?
I mean, Reptiles Unplugged was really cool. It was for me, you know, like, this is my perspective is like, now I feel like I'm transitioning to viewer, right? But originally for me, I mean, it was It was just a really cool opportunity, honestly, because I got to meet everyone too. I got to meet everybody from chat, and I got to meet the people that we interviewed. And so it just kind of allowed me to talk to everybody. And I think that's the coolest part about like being in the hobby is like other people that care about what they're doing. It's cool to see people that are like really into their project, and that's something I think I've missed for the past, I don't know. I mean, now I feel like it's almost 2 years. I think the last time I was at a show, we got to be getting close to a year, now, since I'd been at a show, but it was a Pomona. And it was so much fun. And when I got back from the show, I was like, wow, that's so cool. I really like this. So I think that aspect of being in the community every single week and like being involved makes a big difference. And that definitely meant a lot, at the time. So it was a lot of fun. But with all of that, it's a tremendous amount of work, and it's a lot of time, and it takes a lot of time and a lot of planning. Though I do love it, I can be a viewer now,
right, Joel spoke so long. What was the question? Sorry, man.
I forgot to.
You miss us yet, Joel?
It's pretty good, yeah. It's pretty good.
Oh, man. So the question was, what does Reptile Unplugged mean
to you personally?
To me personally. Okay. So, when Joel and I first started the show, we did have like some other podcasts, like we were saying, to kind of look up to. At Bullshit, man, the type of content that Sean was putting out at that time, like the history lessons we were getting, the how-tos, right, that were in depth with people like describing it. So there was a lot of good content from some people that had been in the industry for a while. So when we entertained doing a show together, I wanted to try my best to like meet that bar of providing good information for people that, was replayable, people could digest it as they need, want. And that was my main goal, really, with the interviews, was not just like, I mean, it is fun hanging out with y'all in chat, and it is fun talking with people online and stuff, but there needs to be some like kind of like reason why people are showing up, right? I mean, everybody's time is super valuable, right? And if people are gonna tune in live, spend an hour with us, or replay it at some other time, then I wanted it to be valuable. And that was the main mission. And then getting into all the details, then beyond that, it was an obsession of mine, breeding, figuring out the morphs, genes, and talking to other people that had that same obsession was a lot of fun, because I could only tell you, I'm sure my wife's ears were bleeding by the point I would get done talking with some of this stuff. So the show was a nice outlet for me to get some of that stuff out without bugging her too bad as well. So.
Yeah, that's true. That was valuable.
I'd like to add that, like, the weekly show back then was kind of like going to a reptile show in your living room. Like, I would pull up and it's like, oh, here I am. I could chat with all these guys and learn something while I'm there. And like, it was my fuel to keep going every week, week after week, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah. Thank you.
I like hearing that, man. Thank you. Like, that was always Joel and I's like number one saying, was if we're not having fun, how can we expect anybody else to? And then why are we doing it? Right.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, do appreciate
that.
Good question.
Yeah.
So, did you guys think that you had an effect on the community and stuff when you were doing it? Like, did you steer anything in a certain way? Did you realize you guys were building a community in the chat? Like, what was your perspective on it back then?
I don't know. I don't know if I thought like that, to be honest. I think it was more casual, really. And I feel like a lot of people that were in chat was like, we were consistently all seeing each other too at shows, which was a lot of fun. It definitely, I think, is still is was, it definitely was like a group of us. I feel like we were like, we always had like a certain group, we had like a group, And so that was fun, man. I mean, it was still fun. It's gonna still be fun, This will be cool to watch.
Adam's in charge, and I'm just here to look good. That's
Hey,
all I can say.
if you just let Adam just run the tech and just
No,
make sure everything's working right, you'll be okay.
no, no, no. And special shout out to our technical producer as well, Greenline. He's the one that did the background that you all see, and he did the intro video. He's done the promo video for us. So Jay over at Greenline, thank you, man. For
Very
me,
cool.
I'm not, I was never really skilled with that stuff. So like a 10 second little intro clip would take me like 8 hours to make. I wanted to,
It's hard.
it was, So it was kind of stuff like that too, that led to a little bit of burnout before, right? And that was one thing I
For
had brought
sure.
up with you, Shane, is like this time around, I got to really be careful that like I want to do this to have fun. I don't want to burn myself out, right? And so I got to operate in that good space. And you were like, no problem, man. Your expertise with kind of the social media, having Jay jump in and help out, like that stuff, big alleviation of pressure. So appreciate it.
Yeah, I was like, I know a guy. I know a guy. He can make
Yeah.
things dance on the screen. I don't know how he does it, but he makes them move and stuff, you know?
It's pretty cool. Yeah, it is. And it's a heck of a skill. That takes a lot of time.
Yeah,
I mean,
so
especially for me.
again, I want to shout out Jay because Jay doing all that, like Adam said, that was stuff we didn't have to do because we were getting other stuff ready for the show and trying to figure out what we're doing and wrap stuff around our heads, and that was one less thing we had to do. So thank you, Jay.
Yeah, big thank you. And just to let everybody know too, like the look of the show is probably going to be changing as we get like dialed in over the next, month or two. So anyhow, just whatever. We're just going to have fun with it and try and put out some good content, and that's about it.
So I got a fun little story. Yesterday, we all three of us met in this very room. Obviously, we weren't live, and I was watching Joel and Adam's interaction, and Adam's definitely the tech guy, and Joel is not. And I was like, I'm gonna fit in perfect right here because I'm not the tech guy either. He's like explaining routers to Joel, and I'm like, see, I'm learning stuff right now, you know.
Learned all about mesh routers last night, or mesh, I don't know,
Good
mesh
job.
network, a
Good
mesh router.
job, dude.
I tried to teach it to Kirsty so that I could then think I learned it, So like, yeah, we need a like a home router, and then that is going to connect to a different router, and then they're all going to be like their own individual router from like a hive mind, and then that's going to give me everything I need, and then I can have internet in the snake room, and then I don't have to do like anything on the video. I can just be in the snake room. So there we have
Makes
there we have
sense,
there
dude. It
that's
makes
basically what
sense.
Adam said yesterday. He said Matrix, Terminator
100%.
2.
It was
Yeah,
like
it was a whole thing.
make sure you're red pilled, and then
So
and
it
then you will
was
awake.
good. Then you'll wake up. No, that was
Mr.
funny.
Lavelle.
But
Hell yeah, dude. What's
hey,
up,
how's it
Jim?
going?
Love seeing these days. Snake X.
Man, yeah, been a while. Been a while, been a long time. So, okay, here's my question. You guys have Adam, you've recently been like kind of listening to some snakes. Obviously, Shane, you've been consistent. What's the ticket in the market? I mean, is it just drop your prices, or is it do you see a direction? Like, is X not selling anymore? Is Y selling better? There's my question.
Well, It's funny you should ask that, because something's always trending up and then it's trending down. So I kind of stopped paying attention to the trends, if I'm being honest. Like, I'm dialed in on G Stripe Clown adding DG and Hypo in there. So like, I'm committed. So if another project's up, it's just like, it don't really affect me. Or if it's down, I don't know. That might sound a little selfish or whatever, but yeah, I just kind of focus on what I'm doing.
Honestly. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, I think that's fair, right?
Yep. Yeah, you know, stuff trends so quick, and then like it with does, genetic testing, everything's moving so fast now, and it's just, I don't know, man. Genetic testing definitely changed the speed of the market. Things are just moving at light speed, and you know, puzzle's still a good one. You know, throw some Hypo and some DG in there, that's still a good project.
Yeah, for sure. Oh yeah. Well, you know, biased opinion there myself. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, Puzzle Army.
Yeah, completely agree. Yeah.
Let's go Puzzle Army.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense. But I mean, yeah, that's true on multiple levels. I'm you know, sort of the same way. Like, also don't have enough space to chase everything, right? But you know, I don't know. It's difficult, but that also does make it hard. You know, it's hard because you got to have enough space to like chase a project really well. But then when the projects are up and down, you have to have the, I feel like, authority to just stick with it, you know, and prove it out.
You know, for me, my perspective this time around, though, is I'm not going to worry about that. Right. Like,
yeah.
In every clutch that I produce, there's got to be a goal of something I want from that clutch or the pairing's not happening. And then at that point, like, you know, if I hit on what I want, bonus, great, right? And I get to sell some snakes, great, right? And that's, because I think before I was putting some, like, too much pressure on some of that stuff, and it was starting to make it unenjoyable when, like, things weren't moving at my pace, which is completely out of my control, right? I mean.
For sure,
So.
Yeah, that's something I've learned since you guys were away. Like, I was kind of, that was more important to me, like, what's trending and stuff. And then that took all the joy out of it for me. So now my joy is just, like, focusing on what I'm doing, because that's the only thing I have control over, you know? So the market's doing whatever the hell the market's going to do, so.
Do you think it's better to be, like, completely focused or, like, kind of, like, 3-4, you know, like, 3-4 directions?
I'm how about this? It's I'm focused, but I could pivot because like the multi recessive. So it's like G Stripe, Clown, Hypo, DG, but I could pivot out of one of those into the other three and add something else at any time if I need to. As long as whatever I'm buying ties into the recessives I already have. But like I said, the further we get down all this multi recessive, we're like niching ourselves into corners, you know,
for sure. And that's, you know, it's, you know, I feel like there's like kind of like two ways to look at it. It can be scary too, because if the project does fail out, you know, I think that's why talking about what Adam said is breeding what you like is incredibly important, because you might just have to look at them, right? And that has to be good enough, because that's the responsibility of all this.
Right.
Yeah. I'm sure, like, when you guys got in, you guys had multiple directions in your collections for a while, right? And then you kind of just naturally just kind of focused in as you went, I would assume, right?
It gets tighter, I think.
Dude, I had lofty goals when I first got in, though. I'm like, I want some of this, some of that. I'm going to grab some of this, some of that. And, like, it wasn't quite as focused as I'm being right now. Like, yeah. And I also had the perspective of like, oh, okay, I could, you know, I could produce that clutch and that would sell great at a show. The whole clutch was meant to sell at a show. Well, like, I mean, that's cool if that's your jam and you go to shows and you sell. That wasn't my jam, but I was trying to convince myself that that had to be a part of like my collection that I was building, right? And so anyhow, I just don't like being more focused, picking a foundation of some recessives that play nice with each other, and then layering some codoms that you like on top And then you're poised for if there is a market shift into like a new gene. Well, hey, mm-hmm. cool, right? You could get that new gene, throw it into some of your recessive stuff, have some nice.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
We lost Adam.
We lost Adam.
Oh,
oh, oh he's back.
Oh, yeah, look
I was kidding.
Where is he? Dude, that pot, that pause over there. Can you guys hear me or no?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, okay. Cool. The where it fell out on me, my hands were all. But he has the kung fu grip like Jeremy said. Oh, man, totally.
But so anyhow. you guys have both been breeding somewhat while you've been on hiatus.
You want that, Joel, since I was just talking forever? Go for it.
Yeah. Okay, sure. Yeah, still been breeding, just not a ton. These past couple years, since I feel like I've been super active, I think maybe 2 years since I really posted a video, but those past two seasons, we just kind of were going down the quad recessive route, right? And the thing that kind of is lame with it is that the clutches are so boring to look at, you know, like, it's like, these are the coolest normals I've ever produced, you know? So it's just like, you know, so I don't know, that was tough, but I had to scale back because of, you know, school and work and like, you know, taking care of crap. And, but I didn't want to miss out on the time it takes to do the projects that I know I needed to get to. But this year, finally, you know, I'm pairing for like fun stuff where I'm going to get like visuals with like different codons mixed in and hopefully maybe some things I haven't seen before. So I'm actually really finally looking forward to this season. So pretty excited about it.
Good deal.
For me, I paused breeding completely on my collection. And that was mainly because like my beautiful smart wife had stuck with me for a decade of breeding snakes. And she wanted to get into some hobbies herself, which was dog showing and trying to breed some dogs as well. So when I paused, I kind of we went down that venture and started learning about dog shows, learning about dog breeding, you know, so I was maintaining my collection, feeding everybody, you know, doing all the good stuff like that. But I just put my females all on pause for, let's see, three seasons total. I think it was nobody was bred. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dude, they had to be pretty healthy, though, I feel like at that stage.
Oh man, it was hard through the years watching some of these girls ovulate and me being like, nope, not pairing a male.
Yeah,
got a dog show coming up next month, and that's what I'm focusing on.
Yeah. I mean, dude.
But it was a blast. I loved learning, like going into the dog show world was amazing. The people we met, really cool. We learned a lot about, you know, like that whole world is very unique and different from the reptile world and from just everything. Best in Show kind of has it partially right. I don't know if you guys have seen that movie, but it's a good comedy if you haven't.
Okay. Yeah, I'm gonna have to go check that out. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a funny one, but
it's about shows. Yeah.
It's a whole comedy about dog showing. But yeah, so that was fun for us. You know, we really and we're still doing that as well. And I just decided like, all right, we're going to fit both in and figure out how to do this, like breeding snakes and showing dogs. And right. That's where I'm at.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. The dog show thing's cool. I mean, and you were like traveling the country too, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, man. We showed last year all the way in Maryland. That's as far east as.
And you drove, right?
Drove.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Oh, yeah.
my good buddy who also, you know, shows dogs and everything. We took his van and went across country with how many dogs? Four or five dogs. So four or five dogs and kennels.
How many days did that take?
So total drive time all the way to Maryland, I think, was like 36 hours.
Okay. Yeah, that's a drive. That's a drive.
Year before was, see, look at, without Miss Beachbum, I don't even know where I'm at half the time. She's like, last year was Tennessee. The year before was Maryland, which is the truth. That is the truth.
Got it. Yeah.
But anyhow. Been across the country, drove both times. Last year, the Tennessee, we made it out there in one shot. I drove from New Mexico all the way through Texas and pretty much I drove for 14 hours straight. So
dang, dude. Yeah, that's a drive.
Yeah.
That's a long day. I'm considering doing that. I have to go back to Minnesota at the end of May, and I'm considering doing the drive because I've never done it, like from Arizona to Minnesota, to like go up through Denver, and I think it's like 26 hours,
totally
1300 miles or something like that. But I just think it'd be cool to just do it, you know.
You should.
There's a lot of states I've never been to.
It was cool driving across country, man. It was really cool.
Take time to do it, you know, give myself 3 days or something. But neither here nor there. But that's cool.
You should do it.
Yeah.
I drove all of my snakes and my dogs and my cats from California to Tennessee, like nonstop.
Really? Yeah. Yeah.
48 hours. Yeah. 48 hours with fuel stops, towing a trailer. And just taking turns with my ex-father.
Holy mackerel. That is a drive, dude.
And my dog was diabetic, so I had to pull over, give her food and her insulin shot every 12 hours along the way, too.
Yeah. So it was an ordeal. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a stint. That's impressive. Yeah, those are drives, see?
On your drive out with the trailer, did you have the snakes on heat, or was everybody just like...
You want to hear how hardcore I am? I had the snakes in the cab, and I kept the cab at 80 degrees because I had gravid females the whole way.
You had gravid females even. Holy cow, man. Yeah.
My father-in-law was like, can we roll down a window? I was like, nope.
That would have put me to sleep so fast, because normally when I do my long hauls, I've got it frigid cold in the car.
Yeah.
And I'm just pounding caffeine.
Yeah. Candy, man. I'm just like a sugar. I just eat candy. Drive. Oof. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, that's part of the reptile community too. I mean, you got to drive to these shows, you know?
Yeah.
You got to pack your animals. You got to drive the shows, you know? So that's the way it is.
That's part of it for sure.
You know?
Yeah, for sure. And you've been quite a few shows, right, Shane?
I've started picking up. So I was table surfing Tinley for 2 years, I think. So I was doing two shows a year. But now with the Southeast Bob Vu show and the All American shows opening up around me, I'm actually vending five this year, which is a lot for me.
Yeah. It's almost one every other month, basically, you know, maybe.
Yeah, but you know, like get in early, get your table, and like, you know, set your flag in the ground, like this is mine, and you know, all that, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
Because ball python breeders can't just get into shows anymore.
Right.
There's so many. So
right. That's a good point. I didn't even think about, like, with the increased people breeding and everything like that. I'm sure vending shows, as a vendor, you got to kind of prove yourself, like, yo, hey, this is who I am.
Promoters don't want just all ball pythons at the shows. So, you know, there's limited slots available. So that's why I was like, okay, Southeast here, All American here. I'm planting my flags. Okay, they're mine. I'm going.
Yeah, that makes sense. That does make sense.
Makes sense. Yeah. I like that. Like, I mean, you know, nothing wrong with ball pythons, but when you go to a reptile show and you just see aisles and aisles of ball pythons. It gets a little tiring and boring. So from a promoter's perspective, hell yeah, I could understand you want to mix it up, right?
Yeah.
Well, those are all going to be cool topics that we can get into in more detail down the road, man. I'm going to love hearing about all this stuff, right? So Shane, I do appreciate you being like getting my ass in gear basically and kind of to be like, hey, let's do this, man. Like we could do it. And I'm like, all right. I'm going to ride on your confidence right now. Cause you know, who the hell am I? Like, you know,
just fake it till you make it, brother. I mean, I don't know.
Absolutely.
So I do appreciate that. And dude, Joel, I mean, you're going to be a real deal lawyer in like a little over a year, a little less than a year, kind of, right? Like,
hopefully, yeah. This time next year, I should be walking. So the timing of the bar puts me at not being able to take it until the winter. So I would have to put that off. So maybe, you know, into 2026, I would have, taken and hopefully passed the bar, or into 2027 when I got the results back. I don't know the exact date on it.
Nice.
But yeah, this time next year, at least I'll have a JD. So that would be cool. Yeah. I'll be very happy to have it done. It's been a journey for sure.
Congratulations, man.
Thank you. Yeah. It's been that's sucky. Huge, it's, you know, it's lame, yeah. But yeah, I really do enjoy it. I like the area, or like the arena. I don't know. So we'll see how it goes. Right. But you know, an interesting thing I've kind of thought about too, is, all the, these logos and stuff, I've never considered like really trademarking any of it and stuff like that, you know? So all that stuff, you know, it's interesting. All like the crossovers and stuff I see, you know, like reading and in class in directly relates to this industry. So, you know, I mean, this is a really big industry, you know, it's definitely, there's a lot of money in reptiles, you know, across the globe kind of, you know, when you're looking at it.
Oh, for sure.
You know, so that always brings rules and laws. So, you know, it's nice.
So what you're saying is in about 18 months time, you'll be open to consultations. You're not sure on the price per hour yet.
Yeah, we'll get there. Yeah, well,
I got to ask the question that the chat's wondering. I know they are. Like, will you take snakes for trade for lawyers?
Yeah, maybe it depends on the snake. Yeah, it depends on the snake. Yeah. Right. Yeah, I could see that. Especially, I think what it really depends on is probably the task. Rather than the snake, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like spoken like a true lawyer. Good job, Joel.
Yeah.
Good job. It's an answer without an answer. So you're just going to have to cough up and pay first, Shane.
Yeah.
kind of that politician vibe, you know? Like, he said something, but then I didn't hear a yes or a no.
Yeah. Well, something you learn quick in law school is the best answer is it depends. So you start there, you have a really good spot going forward.
All right. I like it.
Yeah. Yeah. So next time you're pulled over, were you speeding? It depends. I don't know, man.
How did your radar show? Right? Yeah. What did your radar show? Officer?
Yeah, I don't know. Don't answer anything. Yeah.
So Will from Will's Hella Heat wanted to know where you're taking the bar. Is that like, is that a national thing or do you take it per state?
I will not be taking the California bar or the New York bar. I will be taking like the standardized bar that's accepted in most states. I think I might physically take the test in Utah. They have it's scheming, right? So they have a higher pass percentage rate. You know, national average, I guess, how you look at it. They pass more
students.
People. Yeah. So I might end up taking it in Utah, but it would allow me to practice. I would then be in Arizona.
Okay. Well, right on, man. Yeah. We're all rooting you on.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. I'm going to, and like I said, definitely be around doing my best, you know. I've decided that, you know, there's a lot of ways you can burn time, and some ways are productive and some ways aren't. And, you know, coming on here and seeing everybody and saying hi feels like a lot more fun way to spend time, you know, down the road than sitting down and watching TV for, you know, an hour, you know. So maybe put a little more time. Yeah.
That does.
As it turns out, it really does depend.
All right. Well, cool. Yeah. You know, to kind of keep true to our word, we are approaching a little bit towards the end. So just wanted, Shane, I know you kind of had some questions worked out. Did you get a lot of those out for
yeah.
Joel and I and all that? Yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah. We're good there. And do we want to announce the guest for next week?
That's what I was going to go into. Yes, sir. I'll turn it over to you, man. Let's hear it. Who is it?
Well, next week we will have the legendary Mark Mandick on Reptiles Unplugged.
Nice. Yeah. How cool.
Yeah. I'm super excited about this one. Joel and I back in the day had talked about getting Mandick on and everything like that. So, pretty awesome that this is the first time we're interviewing him on the channel. And I can't wait, man. He makes some amazing snakes, and you know him really well, right, Shane? Like you guys talk all the time. So,
yeah. I mean, he's a cool guy. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Incredible. That's
probably cool. I'll give him this, man. Like I've been to a lot of facilities, and like pound for pound, tub for tub, the most beautiful collection I've ever seen.
Man. Yeah. That's the ticket right there. Yeah. That's cool.
I know every time I see him post, I'm like, whoa, you know what I mean? Like, he's always got amazing snakes. So I would love to tap into his mind, see how he's kind of getting those ideas and things like that. Look forward to it.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, that'll be a good one.
That'll be next Thursday, same time, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. And it'll be Shane and I. And then Joel be popping in when time allows, when he's not doing adult shit out there, professional.
Pretending, yeah. I don't know if I can even be associated with you guys anymore, actually, as it turns out.
I can't believe you want to be a lawyer instead of a podcaster, man.
Right? Yeah. I agree. I agree to that.
Bad life choices, Joel.
Jesus. Yeah.
We need to have an intervention. One's probably a lot more fun. I can tell you that.
Being the lawyer, mean is that?
Yeah, for sure. that's the more fun one. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah, man. But I think podcasting's more profitable. You know.
Yeah, that's the problem. Yeah, maybe that's the kicker, right?
All right. And just because my wife posted it, we're gonna go out on one last question before we take off. Shane, this one is for you, sir.
No buttons, man. No buttons.
Absolute rookie. He's not hired.
That was a little inside back in the day. We had some
fun. I forgot about that one, man. I forgot about
that. I did
that
too.
One.
That was good. That was
thank
good.
You. Thank you, Mrs. Beachbum.
That was good.
Awesome, man. All right, y'all, let me figure out how to use this software here. We're going to say goodbye. We appreciate everybody. Till next week. Peace. We'll see when it toggles.
Are you there?
Well, hold on. It's still showing us. Why? I hit the end live stream, bro.